Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Vestin Phillippe, a art education student here at Tennessee Tech. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing as an artist and how you decided you wanted to go into art ed.
Okay. So the descriptor artist is very new to me. I've been doing creative stuff my whole life, but the journey to get to art school and to start classifying myself as an artist only became reality because my, at the time, fiance and I wanted to teach abroad in Japan because we really were just interested in Japanese culture. I had dropped out of university and was going to go to trade school, but I learned you had to have to have a bachelor's degree to teach anything in Japan. It doesn't matter what it is, really, to teach English, but you just have to have some kind. So we decided to go back to school to achieve that. And I wanted to do something art related because I figured it'd be easy, but I didn't want to have a degree that I wasn't able to get a job with without extreme amounts of dedication and work, you know, like a standard BFA would get you. So we went with art ed, and I was expecting it to be the standard college experience that I dropped out of. But one day of Dr. Blair's intro to art ed class, it's like, oh, this is actually what I should be doing instead.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. I love it when people have like that light bulb moment where you're like, oh, yes, this is why it didn't click before.
Yes. I was really relieved to find that there was somewhere that I could feel comfortable pursuing.
That's awesome. So you've done a lot of creative things.
Sure.
Give me just like a overview of some of that.
So really, even to this day, I'm a bit of a doodler. All of my artistic practice through most of my young life was just on notebook paper while listening to non-art related subject material spoken to me. And I was always listening.
Relatable.
I was always listening. I was always trying to learn, but I don't know. I always have to fidget, spinning in your chair at the moment, you know. So I just draw a lot. So, and now every time I try to produce something that's a little more standard in that it takes a lot of time and a lot of procedure, I don't really enjoy that kind of process. So now I learned through art school that there's a thing called the Surrealist Movement, and that they used, by and large, a technique called automatism, which is just producing art without any pre-planning or, you know, correction or anything like that. And they all use it to varying degrees, and I use it to my degree now. And that's mostly what I produce is just whatever I feel like making in the moment.
I love that. We had a painter in who's been on the show, Ed Tincher, and he said he seems like he kind of does that same thing.
Yes.
But he just calls it, he paints like he's a kid.
Yes. Yeah. Picasso made that way of viewing it really popular. There's a famous quote I'm going to paraphrase where he got really good at being the traditional style painter, but Picasso claimed he never really learned to paint until he started painting like a child. And I thought, I like that. But automatism is just a word that I learned is associated with it, but I found a lot of people, even in the scholarly art community, don't really use that word too terribly much.
Oh, interesting. It's a good word.
Yeah, I like it. Makes me sound smarter than I am.
Which we all love to do that.
Absolutely.
So when I met you, you were doing the art ed gallery show at Cookeville Art Studio. And you had submitted some collages.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So how'd you get into that?
So it's pretty funny that I put a gallery show full of collages in recently because one of my more recent posts on my Instagram is me talking about how I don't really do collages that often. and then after making that piece that got uploaded, I was like, this is a lot of fun. You can explore a lot of themology. And being in a classroom setting, I don't have a lot of time to sit and think about how can I draw themology? How can I really make it understandable to a viewer? So take images from magazines and hopefully they get it, but I'm not too concerned if they get it or not.
Yeah.
So it's just an easy thing to do.
And one of the great things about art is everyone can interpret it differently.
Absolutely.
Like you have your thoughts on what it says and what it means.
Absolutely.
But someone else can see it and be like, no, I don't get that at all, but I get this, which is one of the things I love about art in general.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Vestin.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, set a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm here today talking to Vestin Phillippe about some of his creative process and history with art and art education. So tell me a little bit about some of the things you've done for your classes that have maybe been things you didn't expect to enjoy, like collages.
Well, the piece that I was speaking about, I actually co-produced with two classmates or students, I should say, in a fifth grade class. And that was something that I guess I expected to enjoy, but I didn't quite understand how emotionally impactful working with such, you know, fresh minds that are unperturbed by all the things I'm perturbed by, and the way that they're so willing to try new things, see what it does, as opposed to, you know, I have something to say and I'm going to say it. So seeing that kind of art making, it has been probably my favorite thing so far.
I can see that because they're not so tainted by their life experience.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Years of media and things they've seen by other artists. And
absolutely.
It is, I mean, like going back to what we were saying about Picasso and Ed and how you do art, it's doing it like a child where you don't necessarily have something grand to say.
Yeah.
I love that. So you're doing your residency right now.
Yes, ma'am.
How's that been going?
It's been eye-opening for sure. This is a career path that requires a very specific mindset. It's very easy for someone like me to get bogged down by all the cons of the art education and the education system as a whole. But I think the role of the art educator specifically is so unique, so important. And it's just a mantle that's not taken up too often. So I'm still determined to do it, but it is a lot harder than I expected it to be honest.
I can understand that because one thing with arts and schools is funding's always being cut. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you're probably the first exposure some kids have had to art.
So absolutely. Especially in Putnam County, there's no elementary art program. It starts at middle school. Typically, some schools have an art teacher, but it's not a requirement necessarily.
Oh, man. Art classes were always my favorite when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
In elementary school.
Yeah.
I mean, shocking as artists now. Like,
yes.
Of course, we loved it.
Yeah.
When you were younger, what was your favorite? I know you were talking about just doodling, but
sure.
Was there any other like medium that you really just loved?
Oh, I loved air dry clay. I was very fascinated with claymation. But I didn't have the mental capacity or anything to start doing any of that for a long time. But because it was clay, I was like, well, clay is still cool. So I would make a lot of really awful sculptures that I loved a lot. I really liked doing that kind of stuff. But now you give me a 3D medium and I'm bored in 10 minutes. I don't want to do all that work.
I remember working with clay and elementary school and being like, this is the coolest thing. And I made this awesome dinosaur. And then someone else is like, did you mess up your project? Did it get broken?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess I'm not as good as
yeah.
that I thought I was.
That is
Which,
very
I mean,
sad.
Sometimes that eye-opener is good because then you focus on the things you are better at and that
sure.
you do end up enjoying.
Absolutely,
more.
Yeah.
So what made you decide on Tennessee Tech and the art ed program here?
To be honest, I was just accepted into tech already before. I applied when I was still in community college, got accepted, decided I wasn't going to go to school 6 months later, so I was going to go to school. So I just changed my proposed degree on a whim.
What did you start out at?
Oh, I was going to be, my first choice in community college was secondary education or computer programming. I buried that one. We don't talk about that
one. I was going to say that's quite the change.
Yeah, then it was secondary ed chemistry, and then I got a D in chemistry one. So then I was like, maybe college isn't for me, and then, you know, blah, 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 blah.
As someone who was academically requested to leave college more than once, and took 22 years to finish college, I completely understand that journey. So we'll be right back on the scene with more with Vestin. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Vestin Phillippe, who is finishing out his art ed degree by doing his residency. But since you're doing that and not taking classes, how much do you miss the studio?
More than I could have ever imagined I would. I referred to it yesterday in our seminar class with Dr. Blair as a post-studio depression. There was a large part of my body that really like almost relied on the painting studio or the drawing studio, or when I was really lucky when I was taking like Intro to Glass over at the Craft Center, that kind of stuff. That's really, it really makes you feel like an artist. It makes you feel like you're achieving something, not that the classroom doesn't, but just it doesn't scratch the artist itch. It scratches the emotional itch, the educator itch. So me and my mentor teacher, Mr. McReynolds, have been working diligently to find time to make personal art with each other, or, you know, hey, can you handle the class for a minute? You know, I'm going to work on the project for a little bit, that kind of thing. And that's helped a lot. But you can't sacrifice the education, can't sacrifice the attentiveness. So it's, you know, once or twice a week kind of thing.
Of course. Is there anything specific you're working on right now? Or any ideas for something to be working on right now?
Yeah. So in light of this and this kind of situation I'm in with studio access, I've decided to take a stab at a different kind of, I guess, artistic expression. And I'm starting a podcast soon. So I've been working on all the visual material for that. So that's taken up a lot of my time. I have been making little music things on GarageBand in my free time, all things that I can kind of pick up and put away without having to get materials out and that kind of stuff.
What's your podcast going to be about?
It's going to be a conversational podcast for the majority of it. So like long form conversation style stuff focused on empathy mostly, but you know, I am an artist background, so art will always appear. And then I plan for two like small form content shows, the one focused on like art education where I'm teaching, and one focused on art education where I'm talking about art education as an educator. The title of it's called Headway Palaver. We'll hopefully get it rolling out here in the next month or so.
Very cool. And as far as the studio, and especially when you were doing classes, I know as art ed, you kind of dabble a little bit in everything.
Yes.
So what were some of your favorite mediums you got a chance to work in?
Glass, 100% glass. It was eye-opening. So it's, you know, it's dangerous. It's all timing. But my favorite part is that it basically necessitates a partner. So learning how to work with somebody. I was lucky enough to have one of my art ed friends in that class, so it was pretty easy for me and her to kind of get on each other's wavelengths. But there were a couple of times where I had to work with people that were not even art majors. They were just happened to be taking the class. And that was very unique, very interesting. But Fibers also, mostly because of the professor. She's just so nice and calming. But so is Fibers. Fibers is a long process kind of thing. So it's all the opposite of what I normally pursue. So it's all eye-opening kind of stuff as opposed to more of the same.
That's interesting. The things that stick out the most are the things you probably would never have tried on your own.
Would have never spent money on it unless it was a college course. So
that's so much fun. I really like that about the glass, about it kind of being more collaborative.
Absolutely.
Especially I feel like doing the art education major, like that is so important.
Yes,
you need to be able to work well with other people.
Absolutely.
And collaboration is such a huge part of that. So with your mentor teacher right now, mm-hmm. It sounds like you definitely work well together as far as giving each other breaks and everything.
Yes.
But how is it working kind of together to teach? Because I can see how that might be a little difficult, but also really rewarding.
I think it's wonderful. I've had experiences where I've, you know, been in charge of the classroom alone. You know, I volunteered at Baxter Primary School a couple of years ago, and there was only a teacher's assistant that was there for legal reasons. But I have to say that teaching alongside another person that's trained in the same content area makes education happen way, way better. Because there's more people to be with the kids, more people to bounce ideas. He can say, oh, how would you say that? And I can expound upon and vice versa.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
Very interesting learning more about art ed.
Yes, thank you.